You know, for a time, sin, when we're coddling sin in our lives, sometimes things seem to be going okay.
Hello, and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. Tonight, Pastor Brian Grant will bring a message from God's Word showing how it is that when human pride is confronted by the reality of hard circumstances, accepting the humble place in the face of God's prescription for deliverance brings dramatic and supernatural transformation. You may know the story. A powerful heathen man had contracted an incurable, devastating, and ultimately fatal disease, but he was told by an enslaved servant girl that there was a prophet in Israel with a cure. So we invite you now to turn in your Bibles to the fifth chapter of the book of 2 Kings and follow along as Pastor Grant brings the first part of his message, Transformed by God's Power. Here now is Pastor Grant.
A man was on a hill, going through the woods searching for bears. And as he went around a corner and removed some bush from his face, there he was face to face with a bear, a huge bear. Can you imagine his shock? He was so startled, he dropped his gun and he started to run. But as he was running down the hill, he tripped and he started tumbling and rolling down the hill. Well, of course, a bear was right behind him. Well, eventually he stopped rolling. And then he realized he had broken his leg. The pain was so intense, he realized his leg was broken. And he was really in trouble because the bear was just about to pounce on him. And an idea came to him. He wasn't really a religious man, but he prayed and he said to God, God, I know you haven't heard from me recently, but would you do me a favor and cause that, please transform this bear into a Christian bear? Well, suddenly as the bear was about to grab him, the bear stopped and the bear went on his knees. Oh, the man was so overjoyed, he started rejoicing that God had turned the bear into a Christian bear. Then he heard the bear's prayer. The bear was praying, thank you, Lord, for this meal that you have so graciously provided. Amen. The bear was transformed, but his transformation was not what this man really was looking forward to. But I'm thanking God that this morning, all of us can be transformed by God's power. God wants to do a wonderful transformation in your life and in my life. It's a positive transformation. And so this morning, I want to speak to you on the theme, Transformed by God's Power. Transformed by God's Power. It's the second of a five-part series on the life of Elisha that I'm going through right now. And if you missed part one, the series is entitled Hope for the Hurting Heart. A five-part series on the life of Elisha, Hope for the Hurting Heart. And if you missed May 10th's message, please make sure to get caught up. Listen, I've been a Christian for over 50 years, and I don't think I've ever heard a series on the life of Elisha. And I tell you, this is going to be very special. So you make sure that you hear all these messages, and you better check on that one with it on May the 10th, Portrait of a Godly Mother. By the way, that message is not just for mothers. It's for all of us. And I'm sure it's a message of hope that will encourage your heart. In 2nd Book of Kings, chapter 5, we're introduced to Naaman, a powerful man, but a man suffering from leprosy. Now, the leprosy of that day was much worse than Hansen's disease, which is what we call leprosy today. And if you were Jewish and a leper, you had to practice social distancing. Oh, we know about social distancing today, but our social distancing could not compare to what they had to practice in those days. Because if you were a leper and you were Jewish, you not only had to stay 6 foot away from the person, you had to walk on the opposite side of the street. And if someone was approaching you, you would have to shout, "Unclean, unclean." And by the way, if it was a windy day, you'd have to stay 150 feet away from anybody else. Can you imagine that? That was real social distancing. But you know, because leprosy was contagious, and it could be spread by contact or by airborne particles, you'd also have to wear a mask. Oh, you know about the mask. I have my mask here. We'd have to wear a mask that covered your mouth, and you'd also have to live in quarantine. Oh, we know about quarantine today, but the quarantine in those days, what we're calling quarantine today, is nothing compared to the quarantine of those days. Because in those days, if you had leprosy, you could live downstairs in the basement. You had to live outside the city. You had to live outside the city walls, and you had to live with those who were lepers. You were confined to a colony with other lepers. And since there was no known cure for leprosy, you would likely die in quarantine all alone, only with the other lepers, no family, and not even FaceTime or Zoom, no way to even say goodbye to your relatives. You'd be all by yourself with these other lepers. What a sad way to die. Leprosy. In Leviticus chapter 13 and 14, God took time to go into great detail about leprosy. If you take the time and look at Leviticus 13 and 14, pretty long chapters, and you'll notice the entire chapters are all about leprosy. And as we study the Old Testament, it is evident that God used leprosy as an object lesson. Get this. God was using leprosy to help us understand how revolting sin was to him. God wanted us to get a picture of how revolting sin is. And so as we discuss the story of Naaman, may God help us to grasp how revolting sin is to God. I remember my dad, he used to say, "God, help me to have a perfect hatred for sin." Lord, that as we discuss and understand what leprosy is like, that we might realize that we should not be playing around with sin. Let me share with you this morning three steps to help us experience God's transforming power. If you're taking notes, write this down. Number one, we must beware of the deceitfulness of sin. Put that in your notes. Beware of the deceitfulness of sin. 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1, it says, "Now Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great and honorable man in the eyes of his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper." Naaman had leprosy, but at that time, as the story begins, things seem to have been going pretty well. He was chief of the military for the Syrian government. And if it were in our day, he was chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. He was a five-star general who had been decorated numerous times by the king of Syria. Things were going well. So far, so good. Isn't that just like sin? You know, for a time, sin, when we're coddling sin in our lives, sometimes things seem to be going okay. But my friend, I just want you to know, just like leprosy, sin will eventually become a major destructive force in our life. You know, leprosy usually started as a small speck on the forehead, but it didn't stay there. Leprosy didn't stay just on the surface of the skin for too long, because after a while, leprosy would start eating inside. It started eating inwards, and it would rot the whole body piece by piece. As I did my preparation, I read that bone after bone would drop off. As the leprosy started eating inside, bone after bone would drop off. And because leprosy destroyed the nerve endings, victims would not feel pain. So a person wouldn't even realize if they had broken their bone, if they had burnt themselves, they would not feel it. And so they would just keep on going. Just imagine. They would destroy parts of their bodies without realizing it. But since they weren't feeling anything because their nerve endings were damaged, there were many cases of people waking up in the morning and finding that their toes and their fingers were missing. They were, guess how they were missing? They were gnawed away by rodents in the middle of the night. Can you imagine? You can't even feel it. A rodent is eating your finger and your toes, and they're gone, and you don't even know. You wake up in the morning, and everything is gone. Listen, leprosy was a horrible disease. It started small, but it would eventually destroy you. And by the time that person suffering from leprosy died, their face and their body would be so distorted, you would not be able to recognize them. They became grotesque. They were so, it was such an awful sight to see someone in the advanced stages of leprosy. You would not be able to recognize them, as leprosy had eaten away just about everything. Being a leper was a horrible way to die.
Stay tuned for the conclusion of today's broadcast. To help with your personal walk with God, Pastor Grant has made available printed outlines of today's message with all the scriptures referenced. For your copy, please visit our website, livinggodsway.org, that's livinggodsway.org, or call our office at 215-242-5550. Once again, 215-242-5550. And now, let's return to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
My friend, I want you to know, sin is revolting to God, and I want you to know that leprosy is a horrible way, just as leprosy is a horrible way to die, sin is a horrible way to die. The Bible said, it is appointed unto men once to die, but after death, the judgment. Listen, it's a horrible way to die. If you die in sin, it's a horrible way to die, because you're going to be facing God's judgment. And like leprosy, sin cannot be confined. Sin sometimes start off seeming so insignificant. In fact, right now you might be listening and you might be saying, Pastor, why are you making such a big deal about this? Because everything seems to be going well. In fact, sometimes we fool ourselves into believing we can get away with sin. But my friend, once sin gets its tentacles into us, it will keep spreading until eventually it will destroy us. At age 11, Bill was first exposed to pornography at his friend's house. You know, he was captivated by what he saw, but he never told his parents. He never shared what had happened so he could get help. He figured this was sort of cute, and he figured this is something he could keep to himself. But you know, even after he got married and became a corrections officer, he didn't give this up. And by then, his addiction to pornography had grown even worse. And unknown to Bill's wife, he started collecting child pornography, and he was eventually arrested by the FBI and convicted. Listen, Bill lost everything. He lost his home, he lost his family, he lost all the money he had paying legal fees, and then he had to go to jail for 9 years. What started small, just like leprosy, had totally destroyed Bill's life. You know, my client had a high-profile job But her husband had a serious drinking problem. And this story is about 10 or 15 years old. But I'll never forget it. You know, she told me her husband started drinking in college. You know, he'd have a drink with his frat brothers. But his love for alcohol had grown to the point that when he went on a binge, and remember I'm saying this is probably 15 years ago, when he went on a binge, he'd order $3,000 of liquor. And in 3 days, the $3,000 of liquor would be all gone. His family was wrecked. I remember his wife saying to me, her daughter came to her one day and said to her, "I hate Dad." What an awful thing. Perhaps I'm speaking this morning to somebody who has a drinking problem and it is wrecking your family. And sadly, this man, he had lost everything, but somehow he was not able to stop. And perhaps that's your situation. You just keep going. My friend, I want you to know this morning that there is hope no matter what the sin it is, no matter what the leprosy of sin is that you're suffering with. No matter what it is that seems to have you so chained that it seems like there is no hope. This series is entitled Hope for the Hurting. And I want you to know that today there is help and hope for the hurting, because Jesus Christ can deliver you from whatever bondage it is that you're in. He can deliver you from the bondage of sin, and he can set you free. And it is my hope and my prayer that this morning, just like Naaman, you will come and get God's deliverance and come to experience his transforming power. Listen, to experience God's transforming power, we must beware of the deceitfulness of sin. Oh, my Christian friends, sin is so deceitful. Some of us, because we have come to faith in Jesus, we're playing around with all sorts of stuff. But this morning, it's time for a change. It's time for you to have transformation. It's time for you to get deliverance by God. Listen, number one, we must beware of deceitfulness of sin. But second, we must pursue God's deliverance. We must pursue God's deliverance. I'm in 2 Kings chapter 5. I'm reading for verse number 2. And the Syrians had gone out in raids and had brought back captive a young girl from the land of Israel. She waited on Naaman's wife, and she said to her mistress, "If only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, he would heal him of his leprosy." You see, Samaria was the capital of Israel after the Jewish nation was split in two from the north and the south. The larger of the 10 tribes, that was called Israel, and their capital was in Samaria. And so this little Jewish girl who had been captured, she said, "Listen, there is a prophet of God in Samaria, and he will be able to deliver my master." Verse number 5, "Then the king of Syria said," Naaman immediately went to the king, and the king said, "Go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So he departed, Naaman departed with the king's letter, and he also took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of clothing. You know, unlike some people who think we can control our sin, Naaman knew that his leprosy would get worse. So when he heard that there was deliverance available in Israel, he wasted no time. And would to God that everyone listening to this broadcast this morning would have the same urgency to deal with their sin problem and to get God's deliverance. So Naaman set out to go to Israel to get help from the prophet in Samaria. You know, he almost missed getting God's deliverance because of two common mistakes that we often make. Number one, put this in your notes. He almost missed deliverance by trying to buy God's favor. Did you hear what I'm saying? He almost missed deliverance by trying to buy God's favor. Naaman went in search of God's prophet. let me put it in today's language, with 750 pounds of silver, 150 pounds of gold, and 10 changes of clothing. Oh, you know how much, your little ring, how much you paid for it, and just have a few ounces of gold. He had 150 pounds of gold. I decided to look this up to see what was all this worth. Listen, I don't know what designer outfits they were and how expensive those were, but I just want you to know, in today's dollars, the silver and the gold alone were worth over, guess what, $5 million. That's a lot of money. Naaman was going to give an incredible gift to the prophet. He was trying to buy God's favor. Naaman must have gone back to the future. You remember that movie, Back to the Future? They went back. Well, he must have come forward, because Naaman must have come forward to the future and seen the TV preachers of today. Have you seen some of these guys, these supposedly faith healers? And you know, they have all these commercials and programs, and they tell you they can deliver you. But they said, you know, what they want you to do first, you need to send me, you need to plant a seed of faith in this fertile soil of this ministry. And after you've planted your seed, God is going to multiply and give you what you want. My friend, when you hear that sort of nonsense, run. For God's grace cannot be bought. God's deliverance cannot be bought. God's salvation cannot be bought. It's all for free. The Bible uses the word grace. It's unmerited favor. We don't deserve it. We can't buy it. But thank God, God is willing to give us his grace. He's willing to give us his salvation. He's willing to give us his deliverance. And we cannot buy it. Naaman almost made that mistake. He almost lost because of he's trying to buy God's favor. But secondly, put this down. He almost missed deliverance because of his pride. Uh-oh. Look with me at 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 8. So it was, chapter 5, verse 8, so it was when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, that he sent to the king saying, "Why have you torn your clothes? Please send Naaman to me, and he shall know there is a prophet in Israel." Naaman went with his horses and his chariot. You can see Naaman pulling up with his Rolls Royce of chariots. He had the most luxurious chariot, and he pulled up with all these horses. He had his whole retinue, and he stood at the door of Elisha's house. And Elisha sent a messenger to him saying, "Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored to you, and you shall be clean." Naaman became furious, the Bible said, and went away and said, "Indeed, I said to myself, he is certainly going to come out to me and stand and call in the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and heal the leprosy." Then he said, "Are not the Abana and the Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel?" Naaman was upset. After all, he was a important dignitary. How dare this prophet of God? He didn't even come out. He just sent his servant out to tell me what to do. And to make matters worse, he's telling me I'm to dip in that muddy Jordan River 7 times. He says, "Doesn't he know we have all these incredible rivers here in Syria? Why in the world would I go there? I'm not going to do anything." And the Bible said he stormed off in a rage. You know, sometimes people aren't saved. They don't get God's deliverance because of pride. We want God to do things our way. We have figured out how God ought to do it. Some people say it's impossible for there to be only one way of salvation. My friend, your pride can tell you how things ought to be. But my friend, the only way to be saved is to be saved God's way. Amen. It's God's way. He's not negotiating. God is not going to negotiate with you. God has already decreed the method of salvation. He has already decreed the method of deliverance. And if you want God's salvation and God's deliverance, you had better swallow your pride and submit and humble yourself before God. My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you.
No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to Him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and He will answer your prayer and He will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.